because God is the chief end of human beings, life is meaningful and every life matters.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, as I just prayed there, I wonder, have you ever wondered what life is all about? You wondered, why are you here? When I say, why are you here, it's not because this person dragged me here to be here this morning. I don't mean in this room at this time. I mean in this life. Why are you here? Does your life have meaning? Does my life have meaning? Does life generally have meaning? Or are we all just the result of a great cosmic accident that has unfurled over billions of years with no apparent purpose? If life does have meaning, what is it? And if life does have meaning, does your life have a particular meaning? We're continuing today in our series here in Worldview Matters, saying that the worldview, what is that? The worldview is that framework, that understanding that you have, your most basic beliefs that shape your view of the world and is the basis then for our decisions, our actions. It is what helps us to form our values and our priorities. Everyone has a worldview. Whether you recognize it or not, you do have a worldview, how you view things, what is important, what is true. But it is important for us, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, to understand and adapt ourselves increasingly to a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview, anyone can have any worldview, and it's important, it impacts us. But a biblical worldview has a distinction from other worldviews, many distinctions, but among them is this one, we would say, most importantly is that the biblical worldview conforms to biblical teaching, first of all, but most importantly then too, which in turn conforms to reality. Because does it matter if we conform ourselves to the view of the world and to the answers that are found in here? If we believe this and we act on this and we live on this as if it is true, does any of that matter if it isn't true? If it doesn't conform to reality? The answer is no, it doesn't matter, does it? But we would contend that the biblical worldview is true and does conform to reality. And if it is true, if it does conform to reality, how much more important then for us to align our worldview with the biblical worldview? As we said, in this series, we're going to address four critical concerns. These are concerns, basic human concerns, that every human being has. Every human being has asked this at one time or another. They're ongoing concerns of the human heart. Origins. Where did we come from? That is, how did we get here? Meaning. Is there any meaning in life? What is life all about? Does my life have meaning and purpose? Origins, meaning, morality. How do we determine what is right and wrong? Do we just take a vote or wait for a Supreme Court ruling and that determines right and wrong? Or is there another source of right and wrong? Origins, meaning, morality, and then destiny. What happens? What happens next? What happens when we die? Remember I said when I introduced this series a couple of weeks ago, I said one of the interesting things, if you do a Google search, sometimes you start that off and it'll fill in for you things like some of the more popular search items. And if you type in what happens when, the number one thing that pops up is what happens when I die. This is a grave concern, no pun intended, of people, isn't it? Origins, meaning, morality, destiny. It's all well and good then to look at the biblical worldview, how the biblical worldview answers those questions, those concerns of origins, meaning, morality, and destiny. But again, does it matter if it's not true? Well, it does, but is it true? Well, then we want to address four critical questions to help establish the validity of the biblical worldview. Is this reality? Is this true? And so those questions, these critical questions that we'll ask, we'll address are, does God exist? Can you prove the existence of God? Well, what does it mean to prove the existence of God? For that matter, can anything be proven? So does God exist? Second, then, how do we determine truth? How do we know what is true and what is false? What is truth? It seems someone in the Bible asked that question at one time. What is truth? Speaking of the Bible, is the Bible reliable? Because the biblical worldview obviously comes from the Bible. Is this reliable? Is this true? Can I trust what this says? Why should I trust it? Does God exist? How do we determine truth? Is the Bible reliable? And then finally, is the resurrection true? Because you see, much of our reliable, our dependence on the Scriptures rests on that foundation of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. In fact, Scripture very clearly says, if the resurrection isn't true, then what? Our faith is in vain. But the resurrection is true. So our faith is not in vain. So we continue then today in Biblical Worldview Matters. Critical concerns, meaning. Asking that question again, what is life all about? And what I want us to take away from it is this, is that because God is the chief end of human beings, that His life is ultimately about Him, it's all about Him, His glory, His purposes, because God is the chief end of human beings, life is meaningful, and every life matters. God is the chief end of human beings, life is meaningful, and every life matters. First, I want us to consider then this question of meaning. Is there meaning in life? We have three basic options that we can look at in answering that question. Does life have any meaning? How many of you believe that life is meaningful? There is a purpose to it. All right? Well, how might we answer that? One would say life has no meaning. That is, there is not an explicit, clear purpose for anything that happens in the universe or us as individuals. Life has no meaning. Why? Because essentially what? We are the end product of a mindless process of billions of years of evolution. That it all started about 14 billion years ago with a big bang. And over time, eons of time, because of the laws of gravity and other natural forces, life eventually arose on this planet, perhaps on other planets as well. But the only real meaning it has, though, is simply what? To survive and pass your genes on into the next generation. That's about as good as it gets for a meaning in life. So life really has no meaning. Now you might think, well, who would believe that? The answer is a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe that life has no meaning. See, and they have something deep in their heart that we're going to look at in a moment here that is screaming out to them that life does have meaning and they want meaning, but they believe that life has no meaning. And it creates a horrible conflict in their minds, their hearts. So one is what? Life has no meaning. Another option is this. Meaning is created by us from within us. You say, well, life is what we make of it. How many of you heard that expression? Life is what we make of it. And that's true to a degree, isn't it? Our decisions, our choices, these definitely are very important in the course of our life. Life is what we make of it. But as far as meaning in life, not just for my life, but yours, all of us, humanity, the universe in general, well, this is just a, what do we call it, a social construct. That is, it is something that society builds or constructs. So meaning, then, is created by us. We determine meaning. Why? I would say because we desperately know and have a longing for meaning. And so, well, let's make one up then. Meaning is created by us from within. Well, then there's another perspective on this that says meaning is given to us from outside us. Yes, life is meaningful, but we don't make it up. It has been given to us from outside us. Now, I might ask you, which of those do you think reflects the biblical worldview? How many of you say, number one, life has no meaning, it's all absurd and ridiculous? No. How about this one, too? Meaning is created by us. Man is the measure of meaning, and man is the measure of all things. Meaning is created by us from within. Think that's the biblical worldview? How about this one? Meaning is given to us. Yes, life is meaningful, and it is given to us from outside us. I mean, would you say that is the biblical worldview? Actually, it's a slight trick question. That itself isn't the biblical worldview, but it's heading in the direction of the biblical worldview, right? It is true, yeah. Meaning is given to us from outside us, and the biblical worldview is, and we can know that meaning here. What this says. That's the biblical worldview of meaning. Life is meaningful, and the specifics of that meaning are found in here. Well, there are many, many scripture passages we could look at here to understand what the scripture says, what the Bible says about purpose and meaning and life. What's it all about? What's your life all about? Is there a goal in human history? Many passages we could look at. I want to look at a few of them today to help us to form this view, this biblical worldview of meaning, what the Bible says about meaning in life. And I want to start with one that you might think, that's not the first place I would have looked, but I would suggest it's the best place to start. And that is, it is a book in the Scriptures that I think is sometimes misunderstood by people, but is a real gem. Actually, all the Scriptures are gems, right? All the books in the Scriptures. But there's one, this one, its whole focus is about meaning and purpose, the meaning of life. Did you know there's a whole book of the Bible that is devoted to that question, meaning and purpose? What book is that? Ecclesiastes, that's right. And so I want to start right there by addressing the biblical view of a meaning of life. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What is Ecclesiastes? Well, it is written by Koheleth, or the preacher. We believe that may very well have been Solomon. But here it is here's a man, an older man reflecting back on his search for meaning in life. What's it all about? And he talks about life under the sun. That is, life in this world, in these fallen bodies, in a sinful world, and the way things work in this world, life under the sun. And he had experienced many things, and he sought out true wisdom until he finally realized then and came, what I believe, back to the wisdom that he departed from earlier in his youth. But probably the expression that comes to your mind when I said Ecclesiastes is what? There's an expression. What? Vanity of vanities, or meaningless, meaningless. And it's what? This is the heart's cry of trying to find life's meaning by looking at life, by looking from within. Doesn't it say, want to know the meaning of life? Well, let's look at life. And the reality is, when we look at life, what comes back at us? A whole lot of misery and pain and futility, vanity of vanities, meaningless, meaninglessness. But yet, there is something within us that cries out, that longs for meaning and purpose. What is it? Well, Koheleth says this in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. Now, as we have read that, here's the points I want us to think about, to take away from that here. God has put unfathomable eternity into man's heart. What does that mean when it says that God has put eternity in man's heart? There is a longing within us for something greater, something we might say transcendent, something that transcends the here and the now and this mortal life. Something that transcends this and is above and beyond this and is greater than this is eternal. Isn't there a longing within us for something greater above us and from without us that is eternal? Isn't there a longing within us for eternal life? And by that, I don't just mean endless existence. How many of you would like to exist forever and ever and ever in your state right now? You know, I don't know too many people, and we're science is doing its best to try to prolong human life, to increase the average number of years people live. So, well, you're welcome to try and to do that, but honestly, would you want to live forever and ever and ever in these bodies in this world? So that eternity is not that endless existence like that. What it is, something greater than that. It is eternal life. That God has put that desire, God has put an eternity, a longing for the transcendent in all of us. In other words, what? A longing for meaning. But unfortunately, though, God, it is an unfathomable eternity. That is, we can try and try and try as hard as we want to try to figure it all out, but what? We hit an end and we can't figure it all out. This may surprise some of you. It probably won't surprise most of you, though. When I was about 19 or 20 years old, I had determined that I was going to answer all the questions of life, that I was going to have the answer for everything. And I had devised, it was the early formation of Don and Joy, you're going to appreciate this one here, of an apologetic system that is a system of way of answering the great questions of life and defending the faith. And I had a little something, and of course I thought I was just so original in that. I called it ontological contingency theory. Okay? Well, that sounds like what? Ontological contingency theory. Does that make any sense, Don, Joy? Yeah. What that meant was I was going to have an answer for every conceivable question. And that it was ultimately going to lead back to a where you would ultimately come back to this and to be able to prove to you, no matter where somebody is in their questioning, that I will bring you back to ultimate truth as it is seen in here. How do you think I succeeded in that? Now, you see, ultimately what I succeeded in doing was just about going out of my mind. Until I'm lying on the floor of my bedroom one night, crying out to God in the fetal position, saying, I cannot comprehend eternity. I cannot answer all the questions. But what I need to know, I have those answers. See, God has put unfathomable eternity into man's heart. A longing to know, to understand, to transcend this to something greater that is eternal and infinite. That passage also tells us then that the best thing then, since Eternity is unfathomable. We have this longing. As Kohelet sees it here, the best thing in life then for man to do is to do good and to enjoy God's good gifts. So I would say there's one element of meaning in life right there. Do good and enjoy God's good gifts. Now that's not all that there is to the biblical worldview of the meaning of life. But that is something right there. And you know what? This applies to every man, woman, and child on the planet. Believer or not, meaning in life is it's doing good and enjoying God's good gifts, whether people realize that or not. Do good and enjoy God's gift. Well, how do we know what is good and how can we enjoy God's good gift? Well, that's other questions, but it's part of meaning in life right there. But here's another thing the text tells us right there is that God has done all of this, that God is sovereign. And that He has done all of this. He has put eternity in our hearts, an unfathomable eternity in our hearts, in order that we may fear Him, in order that we may turn to Him. You see, some, our frustrations are designed by God to turn us to God. If you go through to the end of the book, we're not going to look at it here, but here's how Kohelet finally ends the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. What is it? What is the meaning of life? Right here. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. What is the meaning of life? Fearing God, keeping His commandments, living in the awareness that God is going to bring everything into judgment, every secret thing too, whether good or evil, into judgment. That He's going to judge sin, evil, and He's going to reward good. That's part of the biblical view of the meaning of life, right there. Living, fearing God, obeying His commandments, knowing that God will bring everything into judgment, even the secret things, whether good or evil. You know, I think there is this great longing then for human beings to touch eternity. And I like this quote. There's Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell was a well-known atheistic thinker of the early to mid-20th century. But he was a man in pain. It pained him when he looked at life. He did not believe in God, clearly, as an atheist. But what he saw around him pained him deeply, that he thought, it ought not to be this way. To which I would say, why not? Why do you think it ought not to be this way? Well, I think I know why he felt it ought not to be this way. It's because it ought not to be this way. But here's something he said. He said, the center of me is always and eternally a terrible pain, a curious, wild pain, a searching for something beyond what the world contains. I think that's what we've just read. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. There the Apostle John is telling, instructing us as believers. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. What do we take from this? Well, how many of the desires of the world are passing away? Most of them? Some of them? All of them. This world and its desires what it wants, what people want, its sinful, rebellious ways. All of these things are passing away. They're not going to last. They're not eternal. See, because there's only one thing that is eternal, and that is God. And those then, whoever do the will of God, will abide forever. Not by their power, but by the power of the eternal God, right? All the desires of the world are passing away. If we are searching for meaning in the things of this world, what the scripture here calls what? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not from the Father, the Heavenly Father, but this is from the world. And these things are all passing away. The desires of the flesh, what is that? But it's all of the appetites, sexual, sensual, and all of the appetites. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the things that we see, materialism, wanting things, wanting more and more stuff, or the pride of life, exalting ourselves up and over others, fame and fortune and all of those good things. All of those things are fading away. And yet for those whose perspective is not, that meaning is not found in God, it is something created within us, ultimately, oftentimes comes down to what? Desires of the flesh. Desires of the eyes. The pride of life. None of these things that the world says matter, matter. Because they're passing away. But the one who does the will of God, that will not pass away. That will last forever. I'm going to Matthew chapter 22. Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, or they were addressing him first. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What is meaning in life? It's found right here. Meaning in life is found in God and what God has said and the commandments of God. And the greatest commandment, in fact, if you wanted to summarize all of the law of God, ultimately you could summarize it with this one great commandment of all, which is what? Love God with all of your being. When we are loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are fulfilling the law of God, what God requires. And that is wherein is found our meaning in life. Loving God with all of our being. But God calls us to love Him, but also to love our neighbor. So that's what. Relationship at the key, the biblical worldview of meaning in life is found in, well, in one word, I'd say, relationship. Relationship first with God and relationship with one another. Love God with all of our being. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as believers in Jesus Christ then, he took that second one about loving your neighbor, took another step and said what? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. The word to love our fellow Christians in the way that Jesus loved us, which is what? Ultimately, sacrificially. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is the meaning of life? Eternal life is to know God through Jesus Christ. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is the purpose for my life, for yours? To know God. How do we know God? Through Jesus Christ. One final scripture passage I want us to consider here is this. In 2 Corinthians, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What is the meaning of life? What is the biblical worldview of the meaning of life? That the advance of man's redemption is bringing greater and greater glory to God. That is, as more and more people are saved, it brings greater and greater glory to God. As I said, how many of you would like to live forever in your current bodies, under your current circumstances? I don't think we would, and that's not eternal life, what the Scripture means by eternal life. But no, there's something, there's an eternal glory, there's something better coming. But the Scripture also says that the pain that we endure here and now is serving an eternal purpose. See, that's part of the biblical worldview, the meaning of life, is that even the painful things of life have eternal purpose and meaning. The pain of this life, in fact, is preparing for us an eternal glory beyond all comparison. But you know what? I think we could spend a lifetime meditating on that verse and still not even begin to approach the depth and the beauty of that truth. So what? What do you want me to do with that? What difference do these verses and these speculations have for me today, for you today? Again, I want to suggest to us that because God is the chief end of human beings. By the way, I didn't make up that term chief end of human beings. I stole that from the Westminster Confession. It's an old theological Reformation confession that says that God is the chief end, that He is the meaning, He is the purpose. The biblical worldview of meaning in life is that it's all about God and His purposes. It's about the glory of God. But as God is glorified, as it's all about Him, there is what? Eternal blessing for people, for human beings, who are rightly related to Him. Because God is the chief end of human beings, life is indeed meaningful, and every life matters. Did you know that you are surrounded by people with eternity in their hearts? Not just the Christian sitting next to you. I almost started to say pew. We don't have pews anymore, do we? Not just the Christian sitting next to you in the chair there. But God has put this eternity in the hearts of all. And a lot of people know that, but they don't know the answers. Who can give them the answers? You can. The desires of this world will never satisfy you. How many of you have discovered that, have tried to find meaning by chasing after all that the world says is good? How'd that work out for you? The desires of this world will never satisfy you. The greatest commandment is to love God and to love people. Eternal life and ultimate meaning are found in Jesus Christ. This is the biblical world view. And I'm going to close it here now because my voice is going. So let's pray real quickly. Lord, thank you that there is meaning in Jesus Christ, being rightly related to you and Him. Amen.